hearing. I just read the end of chapter 8, though we will be looking in a moment in chapter 9. There's a great deal, particularly in this next chapter, concerning Gideon's son, Abimelech, and we'll take him up as we finish on this last chapter, because we noted last week, as great as Gideon was, as he was used as an instrument of the Lord, and the victory that was given to Israel was a victory given to all the elect of God, because the promise was secure in and through them that the Lord delivered. It wasn't Gideon, it was the Lord who had delivered through Gideon. And then, of course, we read in verse 28 a good thing, a very proper thing, a thing that was important as Gideon followed through the command that God had given them. Israel had rest from the hand of the Midianites. They were subdued, and they were subdued because they were destroyed, and they would no longer and would not later ever be able to raise their hands against God's people. The threat is no longer present because God had provided. But in this great victory I mentioned last week, we say in verse 27 and then in verse 30 and verse 31, the weakness of Gideon. And one of the weaknesses of Gideon, first of all, was that he made an ephod. We dealt with that last time, as it's mentioned here. And it became, as we read here, very tragically, it became, verse 27, it became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. And we can think of the commandments of God, how we read them each and every Lord's Day, and when we read the second commandment, the end of the second commandment, we are reminded that the Lord our God is a jealous God, and he visits the iniquity upon the father and the children of the third and fourth generation to them that hate him. And of course, on the reverse, he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. Certainly we say the fruit or the consequences of that particular commandment evident in the life of the household of Gideon. Though Gideon was a man of God and his intentions from Scripture certainly were not evil, the consequences, the wrong consequences of his actions in making an ephod had results upon his children and upon his children's children, upon his household. It became a snare not only to Israel in that they went a-whoring after it, and they began not necessarily to worship other gods by the ephod, but first of all they began to worship God in a wrong way through the ephod instead of directing their hearts and their minds to Shiloh and to the temple, the tabernacle then, which reminded them of the need and necessity of a blood sacrifice because they were sinners. So looking at an ephod in Ephraim and becoming a symbol of worship, becoming an idol in and of itself, led them away from their knowledge of sin and their need of the forgiveness of sin through the provision that God had made through the blood sacrifices. And then I mentioned next time, then we read this, which is certainly in verse 30, that Gideon had 70 sons. I can imagine he had 70 sons. So we see that Gideon had men. Why? He had many wives, and we're told that very clearly. So Gideon had a weakness. He certainly had a weakness as far as women were concerned, and he did that which he was commanded not to do, than any leader. And Gideon was a leader. Gideon was a judge. He was a savior to them. Though he refused, and rightly, to be king, being a judge, he was a leader, and he should have heard and remember the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 17:17, when he were told of the time when Israel would have a king, and instructed the king or the leaders of the people not to multiply unto themselves wives. Now, many times the Old Testament saints, and they were godly men, and they had weaknesses, and they did multiply to themselves more than one wife at a time. But that was never the intent. It wasn't that way from the beginning. As we read in the New Testament, I think I read, was it last Sunday morning or the Sunday morning before, in our scripture lesson from the book of Mark, the fact the Lord sought to overthrow and to quiet the criticism of the Sadducees, who of course rejected the supernatural and rejected angels, when they asked him a very stupid question and tried to trap the Lord concerning some of the provisions in the Old Testament when a husband died and the wife did not have any children, and there was no line that the brother, of course they went to the absurd, as you remember, they went to seven at the end, seven, whose husband would she be when they got to heaven. And of course the Lord instructed them very clearly that they didn't know the scripture, they heard, because it wasn't that way from the beginning. It was one to one at a time. And the provision and the concerning marriage. So each and every one of the saints that multiplied wives certainly was against the laws of God. And Gideon here was no exception to the rule. Well, the problem comes as we read the next verse. Not only did they, and it identifies wives, but here in this next verse, and I think it would suggest that she wasn't a wife, she's a concubine. And so he has this son by a concubine in Shechem. And of course Shechem was a place of Baal worship, and they called him Abimelech. Now here is the problem. Here's the problem that develops. Now before we go on, of course we recognize it gives the end of the story concerning Gideon's life, and as with all the judges, as he died, so the people immediately turned. They turned again, verse 33, and went a-whoring after Balaam. And they had two sins. They departed from the Lord, and they remembered not the fact that the Lord had delivered them, and they weren't kind to Gideon or Gideon's family. Gideon's family at least should have been honored for the sake of the deliverance. But we recognize the nature of man and his unkindness. And then we have the story of Abimelech, which is a half, though he's a son of Gideon, he really is the half-brother to the 70 others of Gideon's family. And then we begin to read verse 1. The treachery of Abimelech and the judgment that comes to Abimelech because of the selfishness and self-centeredness as he rejects Gideon, and as he rejects Gideon's God and seeks to have what Gideon rejected for himself and for his sons, the leadership in Israel as king. So he naturally goes first and foremost to his brothers in Shechem. And Abimelech, the son, and this is Gideon, of course, so this is the name that's given to him because his resistance to Baal, went to Shechem and unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, "Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you either that all the sons of Gideon, which are 70 70, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." Now, at this point in time, none of the house of Gideon, the sons of Gideon, did not follow in Gideon's footsteps. A prophet did not necessarily have a prophet's son, or the son of a prophet did not necessarily fulfill the role of a prophet, and nor certainly these saviors or these judges, and it wasn't to be. So none of them were the leaders or the judges of Israel. But this is what jealousy does. This is what pride does. This is what a hatred does. And so he despises his father, and he despises his father's sons or his half-brothers. And so he goes to these. It's a repetition, truly, of what would take place again. That wouldn't be a repetition. It's a precursor, I guess, of that which would take place later on at the division after the death of Solomon in Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and the division of the northern kingdom from the southern kingdom, as the northern kingdom revolts against the household of Judah, an appeal is made. You know, what is Judah? What's Solomon? What's David's household to us from the north? And so let's get someone who reminds ourselves of ourselves and is of ourselves. So this is what takes place. And you'll say that he takes money, and it's interesting in this chapter. I'll just read it in the next couple of verses. He goes and he hires what is described here as vain and light person. And he goes, verse 3, "And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ears of the men of Shechem. All these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, 'He is our brother.' And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baalberith," which is their god, and so it's a place of false worship. It's a place of idolatry. And these are the ones wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which follow him. Didn't go for men of wisdom, men of character, godly men, but these were like gangsters. These were the rough men. These were the men that would follow anyone in their selfish desire, self-seeking. And Abimelech, of course, is very cruel. He's very cruel because the first thing that he does with these vain persons is he murders all his brothers, his half-brothers. He murders all the 70 sons. He murders the 70 sons of Gideon, save one, the last, in order not to have any rivals. And this is, of course, all the result. This is all the result of the fact that Gideon made a ephod and he had many wives. And the consequences of that remain. And so, of course, the story unfolds. It's a lengthy, I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It's a lengthy chapter that goes into the detail behind what takes place. And so often, what the intrigue that takes place is interesting as well as full of lessons. The men of Shechem, who assist Abimelech in his selfish desires, will soon turn on Abimelech. And then Abimelech will turn on them and destroy them. and then we'll say in this chapter, of course, this is all God prophesies through the last remaining, the child, the youngest child, Joash, who speaks in parables as the tree. And he uses this parable of the tree or trees describing Israel. And so he went, we go in verse 5, he went unto his father's house and he slew his brethren, being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding. And then it goes on, and it says in verse 6, and all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king, the very thing that Gideon rejected, and the very thing that he rejected for his children. And though God would have a king reign over them, he would be the king of God's choice, not the choice of the people, by the plain pillar that was in Shechem. Now it's interesting to note that this plain by the pillar that was in Shechem presents the idea that was an oak in Shechem. And Shechem was an important part in Israel's history. Because if we go back a little previous in the story of Joshua, turn back in the story of Joshua, it was in this place that Joshua renewed the covenant, or the covenant was renewed in chapter, 24. Verses 24 and following. So it's not incidental to the story. There's a reason why Abimelech did this. And there's also not only in his own motivation, but also in the providence of God, because the covenant, which is that which legally was binding on Israel, that God was their God and they were his people as they recognized him king. Well, now in the very place where that covenant was renewed in Israel, the people reject not just Gideon's efforts and work, but they're rejecting the covenant and they're rejecting God. So they themselves are placing themselves outside the covenant. So we read there in the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord of God, we will serve, and his voice will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law and took the great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto them, all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny God. So here we read in Judges, in chapter 9, verse 6, they declare Abimelech king in the very place against this pillar, this oak that stood, in this monument that stood as a witness to the covenant. So it's a direct rebellious slap in the face and a rejection of God as their God. But of course they would pay the consequences. The people of Shechem would pay the consequences. And they told it, verse 7 goes on, they told it to Joab, and he went and he stood at the top of the mountain of Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, hearken unto me. And here's this dramatic prophecy that foretells of the destruction, later destruction, of Abimelech and the men of the people of Shechem as they're destroyed even by the hand of Abimelech. That God may hearken unto you. Notice in verse 8 and following, he speaks about the trees. Of course, he's not speaking about trees. He's really speaking about the people of Israel. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. The olive tree is a picture of who? Gideon, who refuses. But they go to Abimelech. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go and promote over the trees? And they said to the trees under the vine, come, or rather the household of Gideon, and then the briar. Then said the trees under the vine, come thou, reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine with cureth God and man and go to promoted over the trees? And said all the trees under the bramble, the briar, come thou, reign over us. The bramble said unto the trees, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let come fire out of the bramble and devour the cedars. Now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely, verse 16, in that ye have made Abimelech king, and ye have dealt well with, again, the other name for Gideon, and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands. For my father fought for you, and avenged his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons, 70 persons, upon one stone, and have made Abimelech the son of the maidservant king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Gideon and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem. And that is exactly what takes place. Because the Bible tells us in the rest of the chapter that God sends a spirit, an evil spirit, into the heart of the men of Shechem as Abimelech spreads his rule further and further from Shechem and seeks to establish himself over the rest of Israel. Now Abimelech is a type of Saul. But also, I think Abimelech is a type of the Antichrist who arises in the place of and in the stead of God, because we recognize, as the New Testament teaches us, in Thessalonians, the second epistle, verse 4, that Antichrist and any and all in the Old Testament men that were moved by their own devices and desires and moved by Satan to promote themselves in the place or over the place of God, and that's what Abimelech was doing, are shadows and types of the Antichrist, or certainly the final Antichrist. And of course in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 4, it describes him to us, who opposes. I know we're warned not to be be deceived by the man of sin, the son of perdition, verse 3, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, Abimelech, in rejecting the covenant, rejecting God, and leading them in false worship, was doing this very thing, because Israel, in one sense, was the temple of God. God was dwelling in her, certainly symbolically and spiritually, through the representation of the tabernacle and later the temple and the Ark of the Covenant. So we always recognize it's from within. Now this is Israel. This is in the among God's people. We're not talking about Egypt. We're not talking about Lebanon. We're not talking about any of the other nations of the world. These are God's covenant people. This is the visible church. And so we recognize that it will be from within. Though we fear and we speak about all the dangers that creep from without and threaten the existence of God's people, the greatest threat doesn't come from without, it comes from within. And so we always have to be alert to that threat that comes from within. Now all this is taking place at the intent of God, because if you drop down further to the end of the chapter, you recognize even the, and it goes on to chapter 10, the division and the turning around of the men of Shechem who first promoted Abimelech to their destruction is in the hands of God. And all the, so we read verse 57, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. So this is part of the prophetic word of the prophecy that the youngest son, the only remaining son of Gideon, was given by the Lord when he spoke about the fire that would come out and devour them. And you read about that, and it goes into to great detail concerning what takes place to Abimelech as the people of Shechem turn against him, and as he is finally killed, as he's finally killed by a woman. is finally killed by a woman as she drops a stone. Look at verse 53. Abimelech goes against these other men of Israel, and there's a great battle, and he seeks to destroy the city and the tower of these very people. At one time he honored him, and it's all turned on their head. And then if you read that in verse 51, then verse 52, it says, Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and he went hard into the door of the tower, and he burned it with fire. And then again, the irony and the plan of God, he is brought to terrible shame. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and it all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, because he didn't want to be known, or his reputation didn't want to falter because of this. And he said to him, draw thy sword and slay me, that the men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his place. But yet, as we learn of the fame and the reputation of Abimelech that's later recorded in Scripture, and of course that's the record that matters over in the second book of Samuel, it speaks of Abimelech and how he was slain by a woman. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 21. And it says, who smote Abimelech the son of, did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died. Though Abimelech wanted to make a name for himself, and he's not alone. There are many men since who want to make a name for himself, who want to make a history, set up their fame or their power or their family's power against the Lord and against the plans of the Lord. Yet their name is brought to shame, and they are not remembered in a kind way or in a positive way in the verdict of history, and certainly in the verdict of God. This could be in the New Old Testament times, there's nothing worse that could have been said of it. Can you imagine that just a mere woman dropped a stone upon his head? He didn't die valiantly in battle, you know, at the front of the army on the chariot. He died at the hands of a little stone that was thrown down and crushed his head. So he was no more, and his power is no more because of his sin, his jealousy, and his hatred, all according to the prophetic word, of course, that's brought to us through the only remaining son of Gideon, the youngest son, who God moves to speak such things. And notice, they were content. Come to that. The end of Abimelech's story, everyone, they departed. They went to their own house. They were glad to rid themselves finally of Abimelech. And the chapter is closed. Chapter is closed on Gideon. The chapter is closed on Gideon's household and the snare. That was brought about by Gideon doing what he did in the ephod, making of the ephod, setting it up, and multiplying unto themselves, not according to the will of God, wives, and having a son, Abimelech, who rejected Gideon and his family and the Lord. Let's pray.